That's okay.
All right. Well, welcome to Kaylin and Sadie from the Lotus Alliance. This is our first community spotlight for the JIWC newsletter. So thank you both so much for being here. I'll go ahead and just pass it over to you two just to do some general introductions, and then we'll move into some more questions.
Sure. Sadie, do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go. So I'm Sadie Whitehead, and I have been a doula for about 9 years. I got my start in Chicago and trained and certified with two labor. Then I was, as a new doula, starting to do a lot of finding ways to find births to get my certification. And I worked with Chicago volunteer doulas. And at that point, we were doing labor support at four different hospitals for folks that were just under supported and needed some help. So some of them didn't speak English, some didn't have a partner. And then I also got involved with a homeless shelter who occasionally had some folks coming in and out that were needing a little extra doula support. So that's where I got my start. And then, also took regular clients but always felt as time passed that I really, really wanted to find a way to use my skills and training to find those people that really needed it. So that's how I got started with Lotus Alliance. I moved a couple of years ago to Columbia, met Kaylin, and she was already working on it. So I'm here now.
Yeah, so I'm Kaylin. I have been a doula for the last 4.5 years. I started working on my certification as I was becoming a mom, like a lot of people do. I didn't know anything about birth, especially like natural physiologic birth, and started studying and learned about doulas and thought that was something that I wanted to do. I was already working with kids doing early childhood education and felt like this was just another extension of that, sort of learning more about those first couple years of life, especially during pregnancy. I grew up in a house that was not great. We'll just say that. And so I have some experience with family members, my brothers, and lots of other people that were impacted by the justice system. And whenever this opportunity came into my life, it just all sort of clicked together and was like, ah, that makes sense that this is where this path is leading. So now I'm on my way to getting my CPM so that I can be a community midwife and help support people in other ways as well, but super excited about this project and being able to support the clients that we do.
That's amazing. And then this is pretty related to that first question. But if you could just expand a little bit more on this, I'm curious to hear kind of what first prompted your interest in birth work. It sounds like for Kaylin, it was kind of experiencing pregnancy firsthand as well. But also like retrospectively, if you think there is components of birth work that continue to kind of draw you in, you can speak to that a bit as well. And then I'm curious to hear more about how that connection kind of formed between working as a doula and then working with incarcerated people. So you both spoke to that a little bit, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about where you're coming from with that.
Yeah. For me, it sort of all melts together with the early childhood education and then birth work together, because those early experiences do make such a huge impact on the rest of your life. So for example, if you have birth trauma or traumatic events in your pregnancy or during your birth, and then even in those early stages of life, it absolutely makes impacts on your subconscious, on the subconscious of your child, and then who they become and what your life shapes up to be. So that is what keeps my interest in birth work, because I feel like the more babies that can be born in love and in peace, along with their mothers having that loving and nurturing experience, leads to a better future for all of us in our whole community. So it all sort of ties together for me in that.
Yeah, and I got started with birth work because I had a very challenging labor with my oldest son, who's 9 now. And after just realized like how the people that were in that space for me really sheltered me in a way from trauma. And I think that like looking back, especially after seeing births now and being that for other people, I can see how I could have had a completely different experience if it weren't for the people that were specifically the women that were in the room in my birthing space. And so that was sort of why I got started. And yeah, definitely like wanting to find that and find that for the incarcerated people that we are working with, because we all understand, Kaylin and I have talked about this a lot, how there's just so much that we can offer and give to any client, but specifically in these settings. So those were my introductions to doing the birth work.
That's great. And then I'd love to hear more about how the organization itself kind of got started and how your two paths crossed and like what those early days looked like.
Yeah, absolutely. So initially it was really simple. Dr. Cook reached out to me via email and was like, I'm looking for doulas to start a prison doula program. He was one of the teachers at our local university. And then he was also the care provider for the pregnant people at the prison. And he had apparently a student that was with him, Rachel Hartman, who had attended one of these births. And she was like, we need more support for these people. It affected her really greatly and started chatting with him about how we could get them more support. And the program sort of grew from there. It was a really simple start where he had this vision of professional doulas training the OB students to become these mini doulas and just trying to get support in there as quickly as possible. And in the beginning, there was a larger group of local doulas that were helping with the program. But as time passed, it's sort of dwindled down, and then now it's growing again. But like Sadie said, when she moved here, she reached out too via email and was like, I want to meet some other doulas and find out what the birth community is like. And when I met her, I kind of casually mentioned this thing we were doing with the university. And she was like, I want to do that. I want to help with that. So that's how we met and kind of how it all got started.
Great. That's wonderful. And then I am interested in learning a little bit more about how these different kind of programs work together. So on your website, you mentioned the evidence-based education sessions, emotional and physical labor support, postpartum community groups, and legislative advocacy. So that's a lot, but it also all works together, I'm sure. So I'm interested to hear your perspective of how these programs kind of work in tandem with one another, or if you each like specialize in certain areas and want to speak more about something specific, feel free as well.
Yeah,
I can answer. I'll try to do it well. Baby's quiet. So that's the kind of exciting thing about our program is we got our start from the university. And like Kaylin said, there was the Dr. Cook, the OB, that kind of, you know, founded everything. So we work with the university training we call them mini doulas. So they're medical students that have OB interest or just an interest in helping and volunteering. So that's kind of one way that we collaborate with the university. Also, the university is contracted with the prison to provide the medical care. So they go in weekly. Right now, they have 3 different OBs that provide care every Thursday. And so we're planning on going in. We haven't actually been going into the prison for the last couple of years, but year and a half. But before COVID, and then at, you know, soon we'll be going in with the university doctors. And while they're kind of, while the patients are waiting for their prenatal care, we'll do the classes, support group. We call them classes, but really they kind of are a little bit of both. Like, let's get everybody in a room. We can provide support, you know, chat, fireside, just kind of casually be together. And because they all share that same thing, they're all pregnant and housed in an incarcerated setting. So anyway, then the legislative advocacy also started because we had a bill being pushed through in early 2020 that we got involved with. So that kind of opened our eyes a little bit to the need for that in South Carolina. And the other amazing thing is we live in the capital. So Columbia is the capital of South Carolina. So the state house is like 3 miles from my house. And what did I miss, Kaylin? Did I miss anything?
I don't think you missed anything, but just sort of to lay out what it looks like a little bit more. So we have those prenatal and postpartum support groups. Like Sadie said, we were doing it quite a bit before COVID, but now we're still working on getting back into the prison at the moment. And those are just sort of a group setting and everybody chatting. And then we'll bring up we'll have like a topic that we speak about at each one, sort of rotating. And most of the people there have already given birth. So it doesn't look a whole lot like a childbirth education class, but more like a support group. And then we do the in-person labor support, which we have our first post-COVID birth tomorrow, which is really exciting. And then for the bill that she was speaking about, the anti-shackling bill, that was one that one of our mini doulas attended a birth. It was the first one that we did for the Lotus Alliance. And she actually wrote a letter about her experience and presented it at the hearing. So it was really impactful on getting that bill passed. So, and then I think, did you talk about the lactation support yet? Yeah, we, our goal is to start a lactation support program once we get back in as well, so that whenever they come back to the facility, they'll still be able to provide breast milk for their babies. And that would look like multi-user pumps and deep freezers and all this, and a courier service to deliver the milk, or have an IBCLC on call that can come in and provide support as well for the pumping moms. So yeah, that's sort of how it all goes together.
That's amazing. I do have one follow-up question from some of what Sadie was saying. I'm curious to hear your perspectives on kind of this question of doula training and then maybe like nurses and medical providers, and how you think, like, do you think that most medical providers who are kind of working in these spaces should receive that? Or like, what do you think that lane looks like, having witnessed some of that happening with med students?
You mean, should they be trained in what doulas do?
Yeah, I'm curious just like this question of like the more emotional support of doula work and how that might fit in with nursing, like midwifery, medical students, that kind of thing.
I definitely think it should be a component. I don't necessarily know that doula training is completely necessary, but when we did the training, it was just a couple weeks ago, with the medical students, a lot of them gave feedback about the absence of, not that they were complaining, but just that there wasn't a way that they could talk about that during their medical training. And so I think it would be beneficial for any medical provider to have those trainings, or even just conversations. I think that it's important to think about, and especially with something like birth that is also emotional, spiritual. It's not just a physical experience. So there's a lot of things like tied up in the person's experience that's giving birth. And I think that every birthing person is going to remember the person, the people that are in that room. So I think that having that training is important for, yeah, lots of different providers in that space.
Yeah, that's great. Wonderful. And then you mentioned this a bit, but I would love to hear your perspectives on legislative advocacy, because I think especially like people who are maybe interested in these issues, that piece can feel super inaccessible and maybe like intimidating. So I would just love to hear about your personal experiences with kind of legislative advocacy and what that looks like.
I'd love for Sadie to take that one. She was actually at the anti-shackling bill hearing.
Yeah, I actually feel like I'm learning a lot about that. And I do feel that it just, I mean, I guess some things that have worked for us and that we're looking towards is just getting involved with different organizations that do that full time. Like we have an organization here called REN, it's Women's Rights Empowerment Network. And they were so supportive of that bill. And I sat next to this woman during the committee hearing, and she was like whispering to me about like, okay, this is what's going to happen next. And afterwards I asked like, okay, what happens now? And she could like explain everything to me. So I'm definitely new and green at it, but I think that because we're going to be the ones going in and actually like on the ground level, seeing the people that are affected by the legislature, it is important for us to understand how to make those changes. So yeah, that's kind of my thought, is that what's worked for us and what I'm hoping to continue to do is just network and find the people in our community, in the state, that know and understand how to do it and learn from them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think since I just started midwifery school, I'm recently learning about all of that stuff as well. There's actually like different councils and advisors and everything that can sort of help guide green people like us into how to do this and what to do exactly. So that's a great piece of advice. Just look for other people that already know how to do it.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Kaylin mentioned earlier too, but I really think that there was a pivotal moment in the hearing that I went to where the letter was the experience of the mini doula who had gone in and saw the woman that was giving birth. She was shackled, and the mini doula, I think, was very impacted by that and wrote sort of a debrief after, sent it to Dr. Cook, and had Dr. Cook had one of his students read it during the hearing. And I really think that mattered, and that made a huge difference in the whole story of that bill. And I was really only at that one meeting, but I know that after that, there was someone from SCDC that was like, okay, I got to get up and speak to this a little bit. So it's important to have us, I think.
Yeah, I think storytelling can be such a powerful tool with this type of advocacy, because like people don't always know. And I think hearing those kind of firsthand accounts can really change people's minds or like open their minds to what's happening. So definitely. Wonderful. I would love to speak, and you can kind of take this question. It's a very big question, so take it where you will. I'm interested in learning more about how you think about this within the context of cycles of trauma and how this help can work to kind of disrupt that. Big question, but I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we were actually just chatting about this on Saturday, about how this program and this work has the capability to change those cycles of trauma, like you spoke about, in this space where maybe these mothers don't feel especially like mothers, even in the situation that they're in, and then providing that care and that nurturing and that support and love and letting them know that they're worthy of somebody else's time, and they're worthy of support, and they can have a more peaceful and supported birthing experience, increasing that mother-baby bond and hopefully making a difference in the even in the rate of reciprocity in the prison and how all that turns out for them. And then looking at that, how having a parent in the home is so much, makes such a difference in the life of a child versus being in foster care or being with an extended family member.
Yeah, I think that as a doula, a lot of us feel, I think a lot of doulas do feel like one role we take on is giving space so that our clients can have a voice. And that's, I think, a huge, something that can prevent trauma from happening. And that's something that we want to focus on with the mothers and birthing people that we're working with at the prison here. Just being like giving them options and letting them know, like, first of all, you can have a doula or not have a doula. And these are the steps that you can have, you know, choose along the way. And just providing that in hopes that there can be, like Kaylin said, a more peaceful birthing experience that maybe can be healing or maybe can connect them to their baby for the long haul. And yes, definitely help with the reentry and reconnecting eventually with their child.
Yeah, those are great answers to big questions. So thank you. I would love to speak a bit about your perspectives on how this work and like the maybe public perception of this work may have evolved, especially in the last few years, as people are speaking more and more publicly about questions about police brutality and anti-racism and things like that. So obviously working within systems of mass incarceration, those are relevant topics. So I'm just curious in your kind of firsthand experience working in these settings, if you're kind of noticing like a shift in the way maybe other people perceive it or even if you perceive it slightly differently now.
We haven't been back in the prison for, you know, the last year and a half. So I think my perspective won't be clear or, you know, I won't be able to know for sure, but, you know, having the anti-racist and anti-oppression, like having those conversations and the, you know, educating ourselves on the system and understanding more is something that we've talked about a lot. And we really feel like is a huge priority for us. So that's kind of actually the benefit right now of not being in the prison is we've been able to really dig in and like we're not doing on the ground work right now, but we are doing a lot of behind the scenes work in understanding and educating ourselves about those types of things.
Yeah, I think I'll have to agree with Sadie that it will be interesting to see how things have changed in the last couple of years once we go back in, just from being on the outside and keeping in touch. We see that numbers have changed a lot, where we were there previously seeing 15, 20 pregnant people. Right now there's like 3. So I think that looks a little bit different within the system. And speaking with other people from the same field, but different, you know, sort of realms, the court systems being sort of closed up right now makes a big difference in that. So once everything is back up and running, it'll be really enlightening to see what everything looks like post COVID versus how it did before. Cause I feel like these sort of conversations that you're referring to have happened in the last couple of years more openly while everyone's been home and excited about sharing.
Yeah, of course the pandemic.
Yeah.
Great. And then I would love to hear about what you found to maybe be like the biggest challenge in this work so far or challenges.
I think communication has probably been the most challenging part. Like right whenever everything got shut down, I think everybody was kind of just like, what do we do now? like, what are we supposed to do now? We were in the middle of this huge project and now we just have to stop. What's going on? And so, of course, there have been shifts in leadership roles in, you know, within the prison, within the hospital, within the university, and keeping up with the right people and keeping our organization's name in the minds of the right people has been really challenging. And I think that's from meeting with the National Prison Doula Network calls, that seems to be sort of a challenge for everybody, is just meeting with and talking to the right people and staying in contact with the right people so that you can continue to do the work. And then that alongside, of course, the heavy emotional load that is birth work in general, but especially birth work within this incarcerated setting, is also quite a challenge.
Yeah, and I think that there's just always things that we're learning and understanding about the system. And we were so new when COVID shut us down. I think we had been going into the prison for about 3 months. So I definitely agree with you, Kaylin, about, you know, it's just been hard to not know what's going on and to have the barriers of not knowing who to reach out to and, you know, trying to find those people it's just difficult to know and understand who's the right person to talk to and how to get things moving again has been challenging.
Yeah, definitely. And then speaking a little bit to this question of how this work is emotionally taxing, I would love to hear about how you make it personally sustainable. And I'm sure like everyone is always, you know, figuring out that balance as you go, but if there are like particular things that help you to kind of sustain yourself when this work is really difficult, I would love to hear more.
For me, it is taking minutes of, because just as background, these are not the only births that I'm attending. There's a lot of births that I'm attending and none of them are without energetic giving. I don't know if that makes sense, but taking moments of quiet and taking moments of silence to myself is really important. Also just doing that inner work and working on my own like childhood trauma, all the issues that came with my own past, so that I can come, yes, with like empathy and understanding, but also with peace within myself to these situations, so that I can be the best helper that I can when I'm in those spaces. That's all been really helpful for me and helped to make it sustainable, and having a partner in it all, Sadie. I couldn't do any of this without her. And I hope she feels the same. Like our whole team has just been really instrumental in making all this happen and keeping it sustainable so that nobody feels like they're doing it all alone.
Right back at you. Yeah, definitely. It's helpful to have people to bounce ideas off of and questions, and having gone into the prison, I was going in while I was pregnant as well. And I definitely felt a lot of emotional moments coming home and just, you know, feeling so, here he is. This is who I was pregnant with when I was going. Just feeling so heartbroken I remember having a lot of moments. Like there was this woman who I remember saying, like, I just want an apple. Like, I just want to eat some piece of fresh fruit. And we were due around the same time. This was like 2020. I think he was born in August. And I think this person was due in June. And I remember going home and cutting up a cucumber and just crying. So I guess that's one way I release, or, you know, just, I think I'm a very empathetic person, so I carry a lot with me. But yeah, having people like you, Kaylin, or you know, even my husband, like just being able to talk through things. And that's true for birth work in general. It is very emotional and you carry a lot. I think you carry a lot for other people when you're doing this type of work. And yeah, you have to find ways to release. And it's a good reminder. Now we have a birth coming up tomorrow. So it's a good reminder to do those things.
Yeah, that's timely. great. And then I guess for my final question, I would love to hear what goals look like for you or what you hope is next. Obviously this is like a very transitional period as we're slowly and hopefully moving out of the pandemic. So changes are coming, but if you have like certain visions or goals you have for the future, I would love to hear about those.
So many. I should like make a huge long list. Well, one huge goal we have right now is we still haven't finished applying for our nonprofit status so we can pay our doulas and the folks that are going into the prison. So that's one big thing that's happening really soon. And one thing that I've been really interested in since talking to Maggie at Chicago Volunteer Doulas, they have a peer doula program, which I think is really, really on point. It's, you know, they train anyone that wants to apply to be a doula that is incarcerated in the same facility. So that's one goal that we're hoping to do that I'm sort of excited about. What about you, Kaylin?
I'm really excited about the lactation program. I don't know. That just seems really, like it could be really fulfilling and like a really important bonding implement in all of this. Like even being away from their babies, they can still provide milk for them. I'm really excited about that portion of it. And then way, way, way far away in the future, we have some goals of maybe outreaching to other local facilities, whether that is like county jails or the Department of Juvenile Justice or what have you, just expanding further in the future and seeing, you know, how we can help other people all around the state and not just in this one facility here.
We also have like yoga. We have a yoga instructor that's like ready to go in. We want to take photos. I'm also a photographer and I've thought like, oh, it'd be so nice to take photos and be able to give the mothers and birthing people pictures like of their baby right after they want.
Not just a cell phone picture, because that's kind of more the norm of what they're getting, like off of a guard's phone, like a little cell phone turnout, but like actual nice memory photos. So
there's the caregiver support, like the people that are caring for the babies that, you know, may not have enough or need support in that area. So I think that there's a lot of ways to support these. In these situations, we're learning as we go.
Yeah, those are great goals, though. Exciting things coming. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording, but thank you both so much for answering all these questions so well.